Welcome to the Eating Habits for Life podcast. I'm Kate Johnston, and I'm an eating habit and weight loss coach for career women. I'll help you become the person who no longer has bad eating habits and loses the weight she really wants to in a way that lasts. Let's start. Hi there. Welcome to the Eating Habits for Life podcast, and welcome to episode number 100. Just like the number on the scale, it's just a number, but we can celebrate numbers if we want to, because celebration is something positive, right? So I'm going to give you 11 eating habit tips for career women. These tips will help you with eating habits during your workday and outside of your workday. These are tips that will benefit career women as far as thinking about challenges that career women have when it comes to eating habits. So let's jump right in. Tip number one is to learn your hunger signals. I know this sounds basic, but this is tip number one for a reason. Many people don't even know what their hunger signals are. When I say hunger signals, I mean what actually alerts you to the fact that you might be hungry and it's time to eat something. Hunger signals are physical sensations that your brain is sending your body to let you know that it might be time to eat something. Now, of course, you're always going to be the judge of that as far as following through on eating something or not. But what ends up happening is that many of us eat for reasons other than hunger. And with these 11 eating habit tips for career women, I will address several of those other reasons. And this is actually the bulk of what I help my clients with as far as increasing the percentage of the time that you're eating due to hunger and decreasing the percentage of the time that you're eating due to other reasons, right? Like emotional eating or eating just because someone offers you something, right? Eating just as something to do or for comfort, right? Those are all part, the comfort part is part of emotional eating. So you're going to want to learn your hunger signals. Ask yourself, what physical emotions do you actually feel that alert you to the fact that you might be hungry? Tip number two is eat when you're hungry and stop before that uncomfortable fullness. You want to eat until you're starting to feel like you've had enough instead of feeling overly full, right? You don't want to feel that uncomfortable, distended feeling. Now, to help you with eating when you're hungry and stopping before that uncomfortable fullness, I will offer you tip number three, because you have to actually be in tune with your body, like actually be able to be aware of your body. So tip number three is to eat without distraction. Right? So eating while you're doing something else is mindless eating, and it's very automatic. It's very habitual. We want to move away from that. You're not able to tell then just how much you're eating or if you're starting to feel that little bit of fullness if you're distracted with something else. It's very common for career women to eat while they're working. I understand that it might seem like you don't have time to eat separately, but how long does it take you to actually eat your lunch? If you're eating while you're working, it may actually take you longer to eat your lunch. If you're just eating your lunch and that's it, and you're not distracted by anything else, it probably only takes about 10 minutes, maybe even less, maybe even like 5 minutes. So you have 10 minutes of time, I promise you. Besides, that little mental break from work can help you be more productive for the afternoon so that you can actually do more in less time. So that 10 minutes or maybe even 15 minutes that you invest in just eating and not doing anything else can basically pay off even like tenfold in the afternoon, because you can be more focused and more productive. And if your boss is putting too much work on you and you feel like you don't have 10 minutes of time, then you need to talk to your boss. Simply just communicating like, hey, I really need to have that, you know, 15 minutes of dedicated time to eat lunch, because this is a matter of health, right? So tip number four is pack your own lunch to decrease the likelihood of ordering food out or even not eating at all and letting yourself become overly hungry, right? If you're prepped in advance with a lunch that's packed from home, you're going to be more likely to follow through on eating that lunch packed from home. And you don't want to let yourself become overly hungry by like not having anything to eat all day, because over hunger never leads to great decisions surrounding food and often leads to overeating. Now, obviously, if you're someone who is doing intermittent fasting, so you're intentionally like not wanting to eat during your workday because you're doing intermittent fasting and it's like a very long fasting period, that's a different story, okay? So to help with bringing your lunch to work, I recommend packing the night before so that you're not rushed the morning of. You can choose a specific time that you'll pack your lunch for the next day to make it more likely to become an actual habit of doing so. So tip number five is to decide ahead of time how many times you'll order lunch out or go out to eat for the week. Many times we can get sucked in when people at work ask us if we want to go out to happy hour or go out to lunch or a friend asks us out to dinner, right? So why deciding ahead of time is better than deciding in the moment is because you're using the part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. You've probably heard me mention this part if you've been listening to the podcast for a while. So that's the part of the brain that's more future focused. When you're making decisions in the moment, you're much more likely to be using the primitive part of the brain to make the decisions. This part of the brain really wants to increase pleasure, right? So if that pizza sounds really delicious in the moment, you're likely going to go ahead with the pizza rather than eating the healthier lunch that you brought in to work. Right? So if you have an idea ahead of time, you decide ahead of time, like on a Sunday night, how many times maximum you'll go out to eat that week or order takeout or whatever it is, that will help to create a plan, even if it's a mental plan, right? I recommend writing it down, but even if it's just in your head, when there's an actual plan in place, you're likely to follow through on that decision that will help you with your goals rather than deciding in the moment. Not that you won't still be deciding in the moment on occasion, right? This does take some practice as far as doing this, like several weeks in a row, but you're going to be much more likely to be using your prefrontal cortex and actually follow through on your longer term goals when there's an actual plan in place. And to go along with this tip, I also recommend making a statement out loud as far as how many times you'll go out to eat or writing this down. So be as specific as you can. When you write down your intention or you say it out loud, you're more likely to follow through on it. Research actually supports this. And part of my coaching process is a five-step process that helps you to implement a plan to assist with follow-through. This five-step process also helps with consistency and building trust and confidence with yourself. Because of that, the process itself creates new, healthier habits and helps you feel very in control. Tip number six is get comfortable with saying no thank you. How many times have you eaten something that you didn't want to eat because you felt uncomfortable saying no thank you? We all are so afraid that we're going to offend someone that we end up saying yes to things that we don't want to be saying yes to. Or maybe you do want the cookie, right? That in the moment, instant gratification part of your brain, the primitive part, wants the cookie that the person is offering, but then you don't really want it because you're trying to change your eating habits and your prefrontal cortex is like, no, you have goals, right? Or you're trying to lose weight. But you still end up saying yes anyway, right? This happens a lot. So get comfortable with saying no thank you. You're actually not offending the person. Someone can only feel offended is actually a feeling. Because of their own thoughts. You have no control over the emotions that someone else has, that someone else feels in their body, because they are the ones that create their emotions in their body with their own thoughts. You don't have control of their thoughts. You don't have control of their emotions. That's because their brains control their emotions that they feel in their bodies. Your brain and your body does not control the emotions that they feel in their body. I know this is mind-blowing, but it is true. Tip number 7 is to have some sort of a snack available to you for your commute home. This has come up for clients that they're so hungry after work that they go into the kitchen and they start eating whatever. And it's usually something that's quick and easy, like the bag of chips or the sleeve of cookies, right? When hunger feels urgent, it's easy to eat a large volume and you're not thinking about those future goals, right? You just want to grab the thing that's the most satisfying in the moment. And usually that's not something that's like terribly healthy, right? You're eating quickly and you just want to get the food in your belly. I get it. I've been there multiple times in the past. Now I eat so much more mindfully and it doesn't take noticeably longer. And I've gotten in the habit of just planning for myself like automatically, right? It's just come so natural. When you're eating those snacks after work, you're not necessarily hungry for dinner, but you feel that you should eat dinner with your family. So this often results in overeating. So this is kind of like another negative thing that can happen, right? So having something small available to you for your commute home, just in case you're very hungry, is going to be a lifesaver. It will decrease that hunger enough that you'll be able to then go home, do dinner as planned, and not overeat. It also decreases the likelihood that you end up stopping for takeout because you're so darn hungry, right? So this is just another benefit. Tip number 8, are we up to number 8? Yeah, tip number 8 is when you feel yourself wanting a snack either during your workday or in the evening, you're going to ask yourself if you're truly hungry. So a lot of times we feel like we want something, but we're not actually hungry, right? There's another reason for wanting that thing. Sometimes it's desire and a craving. Sometimes it's out of boredom. It's good practice to start asking yourself if you're truly hungry or if it's something else. This is actually one of the first skills that I help my clients master. It's truly life-changing when it comes to eating habits and also weight loss. Tip number 9 is have an easy backup dinner in case you work later than planned. Or it was an exhausting day and you can't bear the thought of cooking the dinner you had planned on cooking. This helps to decrease the likelihood of getting that takeout food. An easy backup dinner can look like a sandwich or scrambled eggs with some frozen vegetables and some cheese on top, or just the scrambled eggs with the cheese on top. It doesn't have to be your traditional meat, potatoes, and vegetable kind of a dinner. It can also be leftovers or even a healthy-ish frozen dinner, right? That's going to be better than the fast food or the pizza, most likely. So tip number 10 is to decide ahead of time what kind of a non-food reward you're going to reward yourself with for the end of a workday, or the end of a tough workday, or for something you accomplished at work, right? Right now, you might be in the habit of rewarding yourself with food or with a bottle of wine. Those are easy things to reward yourself with. They're very pleasurable, right? So our brains then want to do that more and more. It can become a habit, but we want to move away from using food as a reward. So decide ahead of time what that will be. The benefit of deciding ahead of time is, again, that you're using your prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is much more future-focused than that more primitive part of the brain. The other benefit is that we get a release of dopamine, which provides that feeling of pleasure when we get a reward and with the anticipation of a reward. So if you choose something ahead of time that you can treat yourself to, you get to have that dopamine hit with the anticipation of getting that reward, and then you get another dopamine hit when you actually get that reward. And tip number 11, let's talk about stress eating and boredom eating, or a little bit more specifically, stress snacking and boredom snacking, because oftentimes snacking is what is brought on by boredom or stress, or really any negative emotion, but those ones are very common. So if you recall tip number 8, where I'm having you ask yourself if you're actually hungry when you get that feeling that you want to eat something, you're going to investigate a little bit and see if you're feeling something like stress or boredom or another emotion that isn't exactly a positive emotion, right? Often the uncomfortable emotions or the negative emotions are the ones that are going to lead to emotional eating, because your brain is trying to avoid the discomfort of the emotion by escaping a little bit, right? By getting some comfort from the food. So get curious and see if you're feeling an emotion that may be triggering you to eat. If you are, just identify that emotion. Meaning, if you feel stressed and you feel like that's causing an urge to eat something, then just be like, oh, I'm feeling stress right now. Just acknowledging that is going to help put a little bit of a pause in between that urge to eat something and actually eating something. It helps you to learn your body and behaviors more, which is a big part of changing your eating habits. Once you identify that emotion, you're going to then create more of a pause in between that urge to eat something and actually eating something. And this is done by tuning into your body and describing how that emotion feels. An emotion is just physical sensations. Some people call them vibrations in your body. That's all it is. So tuning into your body and feeling and describing those sensations helps create that pause between the urge to eat and actually eating. It also helps that emotion to pass through you rather than staying there in your body. I like to think of it like this. The emotion is like a little kid trying to get your attention. If you ignore it, it's going to persist, just like a kid would persist with trying to get your attention. If you acknowledge it by saying, oh, I'm feeling stressed right now, or oh, I might be a little bit bored right now, that's acknowledging it. It will stop tugging on your shirt and saying, mom, mom, mom. And then you can answer the kid's question, so to speak, or you can address the emotion and it'll be on its merry way. Also, if you think about the emotion like being a little kid trying to get your attention, an emotion is actually your brain alerting you to something you're thinking about. Remember, I told you that your emotions are caused by your own thoughts. So our thoughts are always going to be the thing behind the emotion. So emotions just really can be very helpful things by alerting you to a thought that's creating that emotion. And once we start seeing as emotions as helpful and something that we can actually feel in our body, those negative ones become less terrible. And then you don't really feel the need to escape with food or alcohol, right? Also, we can then address the emotions by addressing the thoughts causing the emotions. I won't dive deeply into this because this is very individualized and where one-on-one coaching is necessary. So in my one-on-one coaching program, how I help you break and create new habits is based on behavioral science, which is very strategy-based, but our behaviors are always because of our emotions, our feelings. And our feelings or emotions are always from a thought we have. So it's all interconnected. To have success with changing your eating behaviors, the thoughts and feelings must be included as well, right? And that's why coaching is so beneficial, the thoughts part of it especially. So to have success with weight loss, the thoughts and feelings must be included also, which is why coaching is so effective for both eating habit change and weight loss, rather than following a diet or just being told to eat this and not eat that. So if you're wondering why, you know, this is one of the things, right? So you're smart. I know you're smart. You know that there are foods that are generally your healthier foods. And then there's foods like Oreos that don't have a lot of nutritional value and are high in sugar, right? We all know that stuff. So why is it so hard to eat on the healthier side, right? And why is it so hard to eat those healthier amounts, right? That's because of thoughts and feelings. If it was easy to change your eating habits or lose weight just by being told what and how much to eat, then we'd all have healthy diets and healthy body weights. Why that's not the case is, again, because of thoughts and emotions, which is why when I work with you one-on-one in my coaching program, I teach skills and tools to address all of that, right? To manage your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, resulting in true eating habit change and weight loss that actually lasts. So the only reason, well, the main reason, the big reason why you haven't had the success that you want to have is because of the thoughts and the emotions. That's the missing piece. So I just wanted to tell that to you because I feel like it's something that is so confusing for people. Like, why, you know, I know these things. Why is it so hard for me to control like what and how much I'm eating? That's all because of thoughts and feelings. It's really all like brain stuff. It really is, right? Our brain is so powerful, but luckily, research has shown that we can change our thoughts. We can change our thought habits. We can manage our emotions really well, right? So that's what I have for you on 11 eating habit tips for career women. If you want the most direct way to break bad eating habits permanently, I can help you. This is what I'm all about. My coaching program brings you through my proven process. It's structured, but also individualized. And that's the benefit of one-on-one coaching. We get to look at and manage your thoughts, your feelings, and your specific behaviors. You learn new skills, you learn tools. All you need to do to find out how exactly I can help you specifically, like with your specific challenges and pain points, is to set up a free consultation with me. During the free consultation, I listen, I ask questions. Think of it like telling your doctor what is ailing you, what you've tried, what makes it worse for you, etc. Then from there, I can see exactly what's going on and provide solutions. And just like at the doctor's office, you get to then decide if you like my quote unquote treatment plan and ask any questions. And then you'd get to decide if you'd like to move forward with my help to break your bad eating habits, form new ones, lose weight, etc. You just need to book your free consultation with the link in the episode description or right on my website, katemjohnston.com/consult. Thanks for listening on those 11 eating habit tips for career women. Take care, and I'll talk with you next week. Become the person who loves her eating habits and her body so you can enjoy more of your life. I'll help. Start now by just setting up a time to talk with me by visiting katemjohnston.com/consult.